Greetings. Greetings once again. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do have persistent audio difficulties all the time. And don't think that America's most attractive audio engineer, my extremely attractive audio engineer, hasn't noticed the difficulties over the past few days, weeks, months. It's as if there are gremlins who come into the studio while we're gone, and they do things while we're not in attendance, which doesn't seem possible, but there's no other explanation. Unless you believe in, I don't know, gremlins, demonic activity, who knows what it is. It could be that the soundboard is almost 20 years old, and it could be possible that it's time to replace the soundboard. So we apologize in advance for any audio technical difficulties. This week, it's stereo versus mono. In the headphones, it's only mono, which is insane. How could that possibly happen? But there it is. Okay, but we'll move on instead. I mean, after all, they've tried to kill the president again, which, I mean, how many times do they have to shoot at the president before it becomes passé? Is that possible? I think it's possible. Like with anything else, you can only take so much. And after a while, you just read it and you're like, yeah. Because it used to be the president being shot at even was really big news. But I noticed how quickly it got pushed down to second or third tier on the fold this morning. And it was rather disturbing. But so it's kind of funny, even around here, around the McBurney compound, we've come to view what used to seem like giant geopolitical stories as like the petty family argument with the family next door that you hear about. It's like it just doesn't seem that serious anymore. Maybe we're just getting older or wiser or more jaded. I don't know. Anyway, so yes, an apparent lone gunman, leftist, takes a shot at the president last night, never even makes it into the ballroom there at the Hilton in Washington. By the way, it's the same hotel where they shot Reagan. And when I say they, I don't mean there was a conspiracy against Reagan and Trump that runs through 40 years of history. That's not what I'm saying. When I say they, it's the generic they, meaning those people with a problem. You know what I mean by they? When I say they, it means those people, those problematic people. I mean the left in this case. All right. And by the way, let me just say, for all you, if there's anyone listening to this show who still puts your kids in the government schools, this assassin, the White House Correspondents' Dinner assassin, is the sodomite leftist maniac I've been telling you infests the public schools. I don't know much about the guy at this point. Nobody knows that much about the guy. We've all seen his face. We've all heard his name. That's about it. I'm telling you, this is the sodomite leftist maniac I've been telling you runs the public schools. This guy is the face of the government schools in America. Get your kids out. He's reason number 2,100 and I think I can't remember, 29 or 30. To get or keep your kids out of the government schools because this pervert might molest your kid before he takes a shot at the president. The next pervert like this pervert. Anyway. All right. So let's see where to start. Well, let's start with Erica Kirk because she was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner because she's Erica Kirk and she's the CEO of Turning Point USA. Right. That's why she was there, because of all that. And she was caught on videotape sobbing and crying, "I just want to go home." She sobbed and cried after being evacuated, doing a belly crawl out of or off the stage or wherever it was. I haven't actually seen it. But she's on tape crying, saying, "I just want to go home." My advice to Erica Kirk is take your own advice. Just go home. Resign as the CEO of Turning Point USA. Grab both your kids by the hands and go find a God-fearing husband, maybe a plumber, an electrician, an auto mechanic, and just raise your kids. That's my advice to Erica Kirk if she wants to have a happy and productive life. If not, whatever. Go get your next Botox shot. Go to the next rescheduled White House Correspondents' Dinner. I can't talk you out of whatever you want to do. I just think that she had a moment of clarity, did Erica Kirk. All right. Let's see. I wasn't here last week because I was on the road for my day job and to do some a Real Science radio show in the studio and all of that. Go check it out. I'll shamelessly promote all the activities from which I draw my self-esteem and my income. Actually, no, none of that. But I was on the road, and being on the road, I was staying with other people who don't behave like me. Meaning primarily they have televisions, which we don't have television. Well, we have a television here at the McBurney Con. In fact, we have two. We have two big flat screen TVs. One's in the garage and one is in the living room, but really just as a decoration because a living room looks weird if you don't have a fireplace or a TV. We don't have either one. And so there would just be this giant white space in the corner against the wall. And so we put the TV there because... yeah, that's right. Because otherwise the echo. Anyway, but I'm on the road with other people, staying at other people's houses who have televisions, and I'm incidentally exposed to Fox News' morning show.
Morning show.
I know. It is like every other network morning show. It's like taking a fentanyl tablet with breakfast. If you watch that stuff. I was exposed. I call it an unwatchable morning zombie show. And they're all the same. I've been exposed to a few here and there as I travel. And there's a formula. You have a bleach blonde airhead girl in the middle with a tight dress showing a little bit of her thigh. And then you have a token black guy and a token white guy so that we can all pretend that this is about the news and it's not about just having a blonde airhead showing a little bit of thigh under her tight dress. It's all pretend because that's what it's all about. And the perverts running Fox News, they know what it's about. In fact, all the other networks have copied Fox News because Fox News was the first one to figure out the formula. And so everyone in America is basically, not everyone. In fact, fewer and fewer people, thank heaven, are imbibing a fentanyl tablet with the bleach blonde airhead and the two utterly moronic, useless airhead soft, stupid boys on the morning show. All right. Have I gotten that out of my system, how I feel about the morning shows? Every time I realize that someone I'm staying with is watching a morning show, I lose enormous respect for them, and I wonder, can I actually stay here again, or maybe I need to find another. Maybe I need to find another place because I just can't have respect. I mean, I can have respect for them as human beings. Don't get me wrong. But, okay, let's just move on. Because what I saw in the morning show was a story. This was on Fox News. Raising a child from birth to the age of 18 now costs more than $300,000, a staggering 30% increase in just the last 3 years. That's what the airhead reading the teleprompter is screaming at all the young people in America across their TV. Fortunately, none of the young people are watching this garbage. Right? Who under the age of 40 even watches TV anymore? Hopefully fewer and fewer. But these Fox News talking heads and skirts are shouting this to the parents and the grandparents of the young people expected to have the next generation of children. And what they're telling them is it costs $300,000 to raise a child from birth to 18 years old. Now, if you're a young person, let's say you're making 20 bucks an hour and $300,000 sounds like a lot of money. In fact, it sounds like an almost insurmountable amount of money. And this is deliberate. This is deliberate on behalf of the networks. They want to scare the next generation of young people out of having kids because the networks would rather have the 18-year-old, 20-year-old young person spend that 300 grand buying the crap they advertise on their brain-sucking network rather than on raising kids. The executives at Fox News want the 22-year-old guy to spend that 300 grand buying their garbage rather than raising a child. And they want the 18-year-old girl who might have the next generation, they want that 300, they want her share, that 150 grand from her. They want them to spend it on them rather than on children. And so they're deliberately scaring young people out of having children, which is despicable. If there were any reasonable, sensible, God-fearing people in the government and in the Justice Department, they would kick in the doors at Fox News and arrest the bastards saying this to the young people and say, you know what? You can't say that. You can't say that. All right, that's it. I get that off my chest. For all you young people out there, I had a conversation with, who was I talking to? I can't remember. It was a young guy, probably in his late 20s, and he had twins. That's it. Young guy in his late 20s, he had twins. Him and his wife are thinking about having more kids, but they're worried they might have another set of twins, which that just tells you how that's an insight into how young people's minds work because they've seen garbage like this on TV for 30 years. How expensive it is, scary it is, difficult it is to have kids. They're worried they might have twins. I said, why are you worried? I said, you got like a double at the beginning. You might get another set. I said, you shouldn't be worried. I told this young man, he's already successful. He works hard. He makes whatever a living. He feeds his twins and his wife. I said, have more kids, your income will double. I told him every time I had a kid, my income doubled within the next year or two because I just worked harder, worked smarter even. I told him that. I said, by the way, you'll work smarter because when you realize you have to make twice as much money and you realize you can't work twice as hard, you figure out ways to work smarter. I said, I'm telling you, man, take another shot at childbearing, whether or not you get one or two or three. I said, it will push you higher. It will make you a better man, just in a carnal, worldly sense of just because he's worried about money. All right. And so I got that out of my system. All you young guys out there. Have kids and then have kids again. And if at all possible, have them again and again. I'm telling you, and that's just another thing I told the young guy, this young guy. I said, you won't regret it when you're old because you don't want to be old and cold and lonely. And I know you're not thinking about that right now because we're here at a restaurant eating and drinking and everything's great and but I'm telling you, you're going to get old and it's going to get cold and you don't want to be lonely. You want to have someone there to take care of you. And that's why I said have children and then have children again and again and again and then if at all possible again. Because if you have five, there's a pretty good chance at least one of them will stick around to take care of you. It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right. And we're back. That's right. We were trying to figure out, was that a cowbell or a triangle? Or didn't they have another one that just went dink, 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 dink? It was like a tailpipe or something? All the percussive expressions of the 80s era. Yeah. So anyway, I think that was a triangle, but it was like a big metal triangle. Or just dink, 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 dink. All right. So from the latest assassination attempt on the president from a sodomite leftist maniac, we go to the warehouse out in Southern California, which this story kind of passed under the radar because, you know, you had the Strait of Hormuz and the war in Iran, and now you got the president being shot at. Almost nobody noticed one of the largest warehouses and distribution centers in all of human history was burned to the ground by a sodomite leftist maniac in Los Angeles last week. The guys, I'm not going to name the guy because I don't want to give these people credibility or what do you call it? I can't remember. Celebrity. But the guy's last name is Abdul Karim. Oh, hello. Abdul what? Okay. Is he a basketball player? No. Oh, he's an arsonist, a 29-year-old arsonist named Abdul Karim. So naturally, those of us who are like my age are worried about a Muslim terrorist, right? We watched 9/11 and we were alive during the Iranian hostage crisis. We remember the Beirut bombing. So all of that, where Abdul Karim burns down one of the largest distribution centers and warehouses in the history of mankind. Burns to the ground. He burned it to the ground. 1.2 million square foot Kimberly-Clark warehouse in Ontario, California, was a distribution center for Huggies, Kleenex, and toilet paper, which if you haven't done it recently, get down on the ground and kiss the ground and thank God and say a prayer and thank God in heaven that you live in America. In America, we have a 1.2 million square foot facility just to distribute diapers, Kleenex, and toilet paper. Talk about a blessed generation. The blessings that we've gotten from God as a result of our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, just fearing God and doing right, it's incalculable the amount of blessing that was banked for us before we were born. And that's the sense of actual predestination. So the day I was born, it was almost guaranteed that I was going to, not almost guaranteed, it was guaranteed that I was going to live a comfortable life. I was predestined to live a very comfortable and blessed life because my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents either feared God or were forced to pretend they feared God because of the environment of godliness that had been created by their forefathers. But I'm telling you, it's being squandered rapidly. In fact, this fire at this facility in California is a picture of the squandering of the godly blessings that have been banked for the generation. This is an example of it because all of that predestined, godly blessing that's been banked for us, it can be accelerated and burned in a moment by people like this, acts like this, hearts like this guy. The warehouse, which is now burned to the ground, Again, distribution facility for something as mundane as toilet paper, right? You think like, but remember that toilet paper became the iconic symbol of civilization when everyone was freaking out, wetting their pants over a cold virus? Remember that? There was no toilet paper for weeks in the stores. Anyway, so Abdul Karim, he apparently, in an interview with police, after he burns this thing to the ground, he compares himself to Luigi Mangione, the accused murderer of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. I wish I wouldn't have named the guy. I did. Anyway, he compares himself to the guy who murdered the healthcare CEO in New York. So I read this and I'm thinking maybe this guy is not a Muslim terrorist. He just happens to be named Abdul Karim because for whatever reason, we've let thousands and thousands of Muslims into the country over the past 20 or 30 years. And so maybe he's not. Maybe he's just another American kid who hates his parents. That could very well be. In fact, it's more likely that he's just an average American kid who hates his parents. Now he's a leftist sodomite. Then he is a Muslim terrorist. I mean, chances are, I guess we'll find out, right? We will find out as the story unfolds. We'll find out the story of the White House Correspondents' Dinner assassin and the Kimberly Clark maniac and whether they're terrorists. Well, they are terrorists, but what is the source of the motivation for their terrorism? Is it just that they hate their parents and they hate America? They hate America, they hate the American ideal, mostly because they hate their mom and dad. More than likely because they got divorced. More than likely, we'll find out. All right, I'll leave the stories aside. You judge for yourself as the events are exposed. I will report back on it here, possibly, if there's not another gigantic, massive, horrifying tale that we have to cover. But we have a story from PJ Media. This is from the Strange Religion file. Those two stories were from the terrorist file. Now we go to Strange Religion, where PJ Media reports the latest Gallup poll says 42% of Gen Z men say religion is very important, and that's good news. In fact, it's a 14-point spike over the past 2 years, according to PJ Media. For young men, it's the highest number in nearly 25 years. Men who say religion is important. PJ Media says, based on this Gallup poll, clearly, something culturally significant is going on. A religious revival in America, says PJ Media. Okay. I just want to let the folks at PJ Media know, just like you're not a pimple on the butt of journalists from 50 years ago, 100 years ago, this alleged, this alleged religious revival isn't a pimple on the backside of a flea on the backside of a dog from 75 years ago. This wouldn't qualify. Nobody even knows what you mean by religion and what does very important mean. So you ask a bunch of morons a generally non-specific question about which they might make themselves look better if they answer in a way that their great-grandmother might appreciate. And they answer, yeah, religion's important, whatever that means. And PJ Media is out promoting this as a religious, what do they call it? A religious revival. So notice that they use the word religious. Be very careful with the word religious, because it doesn't mean Christian and it doesn't mean godly. There are religions that wrap their women in burlap and cut off infidels' heads. That's religious. In fact, they've been experiencing a revival for 1,400 years. Keeps reviving. I personally don't think there's a godly revival happening in America right now. I think there is a religious revival. but it's not the right one. And if it's not the right one, it's not going to be helpful. There's only one thing that can save America, and that's Jesus Christ. I said one thing. Belief in Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ can preserve America. That's the only one. It's the only way. He said, I'm the only way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, I don't want to get off on a, I don't want to start preaching. I don't want to discourage listenership by becoming too Christian. There, I even said it. I apologize.
Too religious.
I don't want to become too sectarian. I want to be religious. I want to be a part of the religious revival. All right. So let's go from there to... That was the strange religion file. This is the bad government file. Donald Trump has signed an order rescheduling marijuana as a Schedule I drug, which puts it in the same class as heroin. Donald Trump and his administration have now rescheduled marijuana as a Schedule III drug. They skipped Schedule II altogether. Goes from Schedule I, heroin, dangerous, addictive, bad. No medical use whatsoever. Now it goes to Schedule III along with ketamine and anabolic steroids. And thank you, Donald Trump, for finishing one of George Soros's greatest projects. I know those of you out there with your MAGA hat on backwards and your We the People tattoo, you never thought that it would turn out that Donald Trump was working for George Soros, right? Because Donald Trump, he's a Christian and a conservative and he's a Republican and I voted for him to save America. So there's no way. In fact, everyone who voted for Donald Trump was voting against George Soros. I know because I know all those people. I know all of you Trump supporters. You're friends of mine. I love you. We're brothers and sisters. You're believers. I know. But you've been duped. And not duped by Donald Trump like he was planning to dupe you. He's a dupe. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no fear of God before his eyes. He's not qualified to be doing what he's doing. And so he ends up completing the final governmental stage of one of George Soros's lifelong projects. George Soros worked for over 40 years to normalize drug abuse in America and to make drug abuse acceptable. George Soros wanted to make getting high acceptable among the polite class and the government and the media of America. That's what George Soros wanted to do because I don't know why. George Soros is like on a suicide mission. I really don't get, I don't want to psychoanalyze the guy. I don't know what motivates him. Why would you want to destroy everything, including your grandchildren's lives? Only George Soros is a suicidal maniac. I don't know. But anyway, none of us thought Donald Trump would be working for him, but George Soros, one of the biggest debts he still owed the devil in whatever deal he made to trade his soul for a long and wealthy life that he's lived now almost to the end there. Bills are coming due. So Donald Trump helps him complete one of the biggest debts he still owed the devil, the normalization and legalization of deadly and addictive drugs that defined the 1960s hippie culture, mainly marijuana. That's one of the big ones the devil demanded from George Soros, and Donald Trump just closed the deal.
Nathan Snyder and Buster Love.
worldview. And I just couldn't. I had to sit through and listen to that whole segment just because.
The drum is good.
The drums are really good. And anyway, just to make the point, I guess. So those guys were smoking dope. But the thing was, is your mom and dad didn't appreciate it. And they were like, what are you listening to those dope smoking long-haired faggots for? Then it turned out none of them were homosexuals or anything, but it was better that your mom and dad assumed that they were and asserted that they were, because they were certainly long-haired, pot-smoking leftists. But now it's all normal, and that's what George Soros wanted. He wanted the suit and tie type with the short hair, shaved every day, look clean cut. He wanted them to be potheads and to think it was good, and that's where we are. And thank you, Mr. Trump. While we appreciate Donald Trump reading from the Bible, by the way, Donald Trump took part in the America Reads the Bible program last week. And on Tuesday of last week, he read from 2 Chronicles. And I followed along and I listened to it. And what was funny was he had the Bible open in front of him on the Oval Office desk or whatever, wherever he was. It's there in the White House. The Bible was open in front of him, but he's obviously reading from a teleprompter. And the teleprompter's a little hitchy and glitchy because, anyway, if you get a chance, just check it out. Me personally, had I performed that badly trying to read anything in public, I would have redone it. But I think that Donald Trump knows that most people don't know the Bible well enough to tell that he was reading it from a teleprompter and he was completely unfamiliar with it, except the one part about, if my people, now I don't want to quote it, I don't want to misquote the Bible verse. If my people who are called by my name, right? We all remember the 2 Chronicles, right? He's familiar with that because he's heard it 1,000,006 times in his what kind of church does he go to? It's not Presbyterian. It's the other one. Episcopalian. Yeah. Anyway, he's heard that 1,000,000 times at his Episcopalian church. He's heard it 1,000,000 times since he became president. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and I will heal their land. That whole thing, right? Everybody knows that one. Now, nobody knows that was a promise made to Solomon for Israel that needs to be viewed through the lens of prophecy in order for us to really understand it. But instead, Donald Trump applies it to himself, which I would be careful with that, Don. Applying anything that happened to Solomon to yourself as a politician is problematic. If you've read the whole story of Solomon in the Bible, I know you're not familiar with it, Don. And Don knows that none of the people watching, none of the Christians with their MAGA hat on backward and their We the People tattoos, none of them are familiar enough with the story to, number one, to realize Don's never read this whole section before. I'll bet last Tuesday was the most consecutive Bible verses Donald Trump has read possibly in his entire life. Because it was, I think, 11 or 12 verses in a row. Did I say chapters? I don't want to imply that Donald Trump has ever read more than two consecutive chapters of the Bible. I'd be willing to bet half of what I own that he's never read two consecutive chapters of the Bible in one sitting. That's just my guess. So, although many of the people who voted for him have, and that's what's surprising and somewhat disappointing. Anyway, if you get a chance, just check in on it. I was reading along trying to figure out which Bible version he was reading from. And anyway, it's whichever one matches the King James, but only changes the thou to you and the thee to you. And it only messes up that part. But Donald Trump did read it accurately, except for one slip of the lip, which, by the way, if I'm reading the Bible in public and there's such an obvious slip of the tongue that alters the meaning of the verse, I would redo that or I would do something about that. I'm sure I've done that on my videos, but I've just didn't know it. But if you're the president of the United States and you're reading the Bible in public, I don't know, maybe it was live. Okay, I'll give him that. Let's move on from that. Elon Musk, by the way, from the Big Dumb File. Elon Musk has proposed that the United States government provide universal high-income checks. Checks, meaning money, to citizens as AI and robotics radically reshape the employment landscape. This is according to Breitbart urinalists, who, by the way, Breitbart hates Elon Musk. I'm not sure why it is. It's probably for the wrong reasons. I mean, I detest Elon Musk for all the ungodly things he promotes and says and does. Breitbart hates him for some other reason, probably because he didn't agree to sponsor them at some point in the distant past. They thought he was in the running. They thought they had him bamboozled. The guys at Breitbart didn't realize that Elon Musk is a bamboozler, not a bamboozlee. And so he never wrote them the check, and they've hated him ever since. Or I don't know if someone who worked for Elon Musk got fired by Elon Musk. He got hired by Breitbart. I'm not sure what it is, but they hate him. And so naturally, this story, he calls for universal high income. And then for whatever reason, Breitbart reports that his proposal garnered 38 million views on X, on Twitter, right? Which, what does that matter? That, of course, if you promise a lot of money to everybody, millions of people are going to want to be interested in that, especially since they think Elon Musk is somebody. But of what value is reporting that 38 million people looked at this? Maybe I just don't understand how things are. Maybe that makes people feel better that there's 38 million people who are so pathetic that they want to hear from Elon Musk that they're going to get a lot of money. I don't know. I think it's embarrassing. I wouldn't report that myself. Musk argues that AI and robotics, listen to what Elon Musk said. AI and robotics are going to produce goods and services in such abundance that traditional concerns about shortages and inflation are going to become irrelevant. So Elon Musk actually said, I don't know if he believes this, he could be selling something. You know, the guy's a salesman. There's no doubt about that. But I find it hard to believe that he actually thinks that the next revolution in human productivity is going to change the rules of economics that have been in force the whole time. Through all the other revolution, remember the Industrial Revolution, the Information Technology Revolution. I mean, the rules of economics have not changed through those other revolutions, but somehow he thinks this one is. I just don't think he's that dumb. I think Elon Musk is selling something with his universal high income statement. And so just color me skeptical. And I don't trust this guy. I've never liked this guy. So do I have anything more to say now that I've said that? I'm not sure. Oh, Musk has previously described a future where all jobs will be optional. And that money itself could lose significance as advanced technology creates post-scarcity economic conditions. Okay, I know that the guy's been on ketamine, right? And I've seen him smoking dope on TV or whatever with online. But there's no way he could be this high or this stupid to say this. So he's up to something. I almost said Donald Trump. I meant Elon Musk. I apologize. I don't want to confuse the two or conflate the two. They're not getting along right now, so we want to keep them in separate corners. From there, we go to reason number 2128, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from parents to protect their child from gender transitioning in secret in the government schools. That's right. The Supreme Court announced it will not intervene in a case brought by two parents claiming that they had a right to be told that their child was being transitioned to another sex at school. Steve and Marissa, they brought their case back in 2022 after they learned from a teacher at their daughter's school that their daughter at school was genderqueer. Uh-huh. They found out from that one teacher, who, by the way, was later fired for outing the school for molesting the daughter, and the school's policy at the time was that teachers were to keep quiet if a child was being transitioned, which is another word for molestation. Just so you know, when teachers say that the child is being transitioned, that means the teachers are molesting the child. That's what that means. And the school policy was to keep quiet when teachers molested the kids, because otherwise the molestation could become public and the parents could find out. That could be embarrassing. There might be criminal charges. So the policy was to keep quiet about it. And the Supreme Court has said they're not going to hear a case where the parents say that keeping that stuff secret, like the crime of molesting a child, keeping that secret is itself a crime. Which the parents don't even allege here, by the way. These parents are so far unmoored from godliness that they don't understand what happened to their daughter was a crime. They just say that it violated their rights. So they have a civil case. Their daughter is molested in front of their face at the public school that they turned her over to, and they think that only your constitutional rights have been violated? My goodness, I don't know if we can recover from this if the parents don't even understand when your child is being, a criminal act has been committed against your child. And it's just, there's so much wrong. I mean, the parents claim their constitutional rights were violated. And then it goes through all this other stuff. But what I'm thinking about while I'm reading the story is, this is 2022, right? 22, 23, 24, 25, 20. The kid was 11 at the time. Now the kid's, 16, 17. It's like, how long has this been going on? And what's happened to the child in the meantime? Nobody says here. But that's what I'm worried about. Was what about the child that was molested in the story 4 years ago? At least 4 years ago. Because this probably went on for a year before the parents found out. What happened to the girl? And whatever happened to the girl, how do we find the bastards responsible and punish them? That's what I want to know. If I'm the father. Oh, by the way, the parents' names are Stephen Foote and Melissa Silvestri. Why don't they share last names? Because they're divorced. Why are they divorced? Because they're selfish. Why did they turn their daughter over to the public schools while she was being molested in front of God and everybody? Because they're selfish, godless heathens. They should be ashamed of themselves. And I hope that they realize the shameful thing that they've done and understand that they can be forgiven by God and that they can find a way to repair and heal their life in Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for these poor people. The Supreme Court won't hear their case, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because the Supreme Court cannot help you, Steve. And they can't help you, Marissa. And the Supreme Court can't help the now 15 or 16-year-old daughter that was damaged due to your selfishness and godlessness. Only God can help you. Worldview. Yeah. Uh-huh. That story really got to me there. It got to my heart. It brought together, I can't remember the earlier story that it did. I mean, it brought together so these young men who burn down buildings and shoot at people because they hate their parents from them to the rise in religiosity, allegedly, to this girl who's been obviously abused by her parents and her teachers, and now the Supreme Court. Let's continue from there. We go to reason number 2129 to get her keep your kids out, because the Supreme Court might get involved in their lives, and that's the last thing your kids need after all they've been through. Here we have a Catholic preschool in Colorado has filed a lawsuit arguing that exclusion from the preschool program that exists in Colorado is religious discrimination. This is a report from Breitbart. What Breitbart didn't write in that little piece of reportage was what the Catholic preschool wants is money from the state of Colorado. They don't want to be involved in the preschool program. I mean, they do. But that's because it involves getting money from the state. So here you have some alleged Christians who've been cut out of the secular state's money spigot because they won't let faggots teach their preschool. So basically the state said, if you won't let faggots teach in your preschool, we're not going to give you any money. And so what did the Catholics say? Well, we want the money and we're going to take you to court. Instead of saying, you know what? We're not going to let in faggots, and we're going to use this, what you've just put us through, to show our people that we're being persecuted by you, the godless heathens, and we don't want your filthy money. We spit on it. Get out of here with that. We'd rather go homeless and hungry under a bridge than take the filthy lucre of the state who wants to push faggots into our preschool class. But that's not what the Catholics said. They want to go to court to get the money and to somehow keep out some portion of the faggotry, or whatever they want to do to do backflips to get the money. Because you know why? The Catholic Church is a wicked, evil institution that has been built by the devil to distract Christians from the gospel while building up the devil's minions. All right, I said it. All right, have I offended the Catholics? Get out of here. I could care less. Now, the state of Colorado says that our program includes faith-based preschools. Of course they do. The state of Colorado has their religion. It includes faggotry. And if you're willing to bend the knee and bow before the faggotry and call yourself a Christian, they'll give you the money. And so the Catholics and their lawyers, they're just figuring out how to navigate that. There's a number of other Protestant denominations and schools in Colorado that have already done it. And so don't you Protestants think I'm letting you off the hook. All right. Let's see. Is there anything left to be said about this? The Trump administration has issued a statement backing the Catholic preschool because they know their part in assisting the pro-family industry fundraising efforts that will be driven by this case. They'll raise a bunch of money off this case, pay off, hire lawyers, and pay for their vacations, their car payments, pay for their kids' private school. Colorado voters, according to the Breitbart story, Colorado voters approved the universal pre-K program in 2020 using funding from taxes on tobacco. So you can't make this stuff up. So the parents in Colorado are so stupid. They're so stupid that they become convinced that we're going to raise money by taxing tobacco, that the homeless people that you love, they're the ones buying the tobacco with the $1.50 you give them at the freeway exit. That's where all this money is going to come from. And we're going to take your kid 6 hours a day, 3 days a week. No, I'm sorry, 15 hours of preschool a week. That's babysitting money is what it is. The parents are like, okay, I give $1.50 to the homeless guy. He goes buy some cigarettes. Now I can get my kid out of my house 15 hours a week. The state pays for it. And, you know, if there's faggots in the room, well, you know, that's a risk you take. It's worth it for the second BMW payment. All right. It's not worth it, okay? I'm being sarcastic, facetious. Do you get it? I hope you get it. If you don't get it, stop listening. All right. Meanwhile, this is the outrage of the week. This is the story that really hurts. Eric Ryan and Megan Coffin brought their son to an emergency room in North Glen, Colorado on January 9th. Why do the mom and dad have different last names? Eric Ryan and Megan Coffin. Here's the thing. When you're reading news these days, just the fact that it looks like it's a boy and a girl is encouraging. That, of course, they have last names. They're divorced. Because everybody's divorced, I guess. But at least it's Eric and Megan and not Steve and Jeff. And, you know, I know it's a low bar. It's the best you can hope for anymore.
You don't know by the name.
See, we don't know if Megan's transgendered. We're going to assume she's not, though. But that's not the point of the story. That's something I just noticed because I'm so jaded that I notice this stuff now. I'm so cynical about all of this, about everything having to do with the world. It's all vanity. Anyway, so this couple brings their daughter to the hospital because the boy had flu and croup. These are two very common things that children have. And so let me just give some advice to young parents. If your child has the flu and the croup, don't bring them to the hospital, okay? So parents raised children, and the children survived for hundreds of years in America without taking the kid to the hospital. I know a few died. Yes, it's possible that a fever can kill your child. I know. That's a risk you have to take in life. But let me just, I've done the calculations in my own mind with my own children, and I became convinced it's probably riskier to bring your kid to the hospital over something like this than it is to just try to ride it out at home. So that's what I would advise. And if your child dies, don't sue me over it, okay? I'm just telling you what we did for hundreds of years. Bringing your child to a hospital is risky because there's lots of sick people and bugs and things at hospitals, and there's medical errors that happen. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. They got the croup, they got the fever. Just ride it out at home. All right? And if you don't have enough faith in God to know what's going to happen to your child if it dies, well, you need to work on that, okay? You need to have the courage to live life, because if you have the fear of God, you know that even if you die, it's going to be okay. That's the problem in the world. We have too many people who are so terrified of death that they absolutely, they can't have any peace with death, and so they're constantly in fear, and so they're easily manipulated into doing stupid things. Like taking your child to the hospital because he's got the flu and the croup. Anyway, they brought him to the hospital. They brought him in, they prescribed steroids and Tamiflu and sent the family home. Then the child didn't improve. Child had to go back to the hospital, so they put him in for an x-ray, then the kid stops breathing. Why? Who knows why? Nobody knows why. But then they attempt to intubate the child. And then there's a prolonged lack of oxygen that occurs. And the story gets a little difficult to follow. But the kid ends up on life support. And the hospital's now telling them the hospital demands a brain death test. The brain death test, shockingly, comes back positive. The kid's brain dead. And the hospital tells the parents it's time to unplug your kid. And the parents can't believe this. The kid had a flu a few weeks ago. Now he's brain dead on life support.
Is this a real story?
This is a real story. Yeah. Yeah, this happened in Colorado. So I just want to read this, okay? Because this caught my interest. The family never intended to keep their son on life support indefinitely, but they did seek time to allow for a possible recovery of brain function, noting that his other organs appeared to be working without damage. So you got a one-year-old on life support, and all of his organs are healthy, and the hospital is telling the parents, you need to unplug the kid. And eventually the parents go along with it. And then, now the reporters, the story, well, there's real, I don't want to even talk about any more of this because it's just distasteful. But we're all sinners and we're all fallen, and when something this horrible happens, I don't want to criticize anybody in the family, except for this, okay? Color me a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist, but if you have a one-year-old child who, through whatever reason, ends up on life support and all of their organs are healthy, and then the hospital wants to run a brain death test and then starts telling the parents it's time to unplug the child, I want the police to look at this as a possible criminal act. That's all. Because healthy organs are extremely valuable, especially in a one-year-old child. They're extraordinarily valuable these days because of the vampire-like society we live in. And they're definitely more valuable to a hospital than a brain-damaged baby. And so there's enough motivation here to commit a crime that this should be investigated as a crime. That's all. I'm not saying a crime happened here, but I think it's worth looking into. That's all. And just the fact that one could reasonably suspect a crime here is a barometer of the vampiric level of our society as it is right now. Knowing that there's a possibility, that there's a motivation that someone else would kill a one-year-old to get at their organs, I'm just telling you that there's enough of that out there that this needs to be looked into. That's all. Meanwhile, Robert F. K. Jr., did I say Robert F. K. Jr.? That's pretty bad. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the current secretary of something. Anyway, the secretary of MAGA. I'm not sure what he is, but he's a Catholic. I know that. He forcefully condemned Canada's medical assistance in dying program, the MAID program, and asked about the laws in Canada that allow doctors to kill people. Kennedy said, I think those laws are abhorrent. Hey, that's pretty good. Okay, I give credit where credit is due. Robert F. Kennedy understands that laws giving doctors the authority to kill people, not only to kill people, by the way, the laws in Canada give the doctors, well, they've evolved to give the doctors the ability to manipulate people and convince them that it's better to die. And since people tend to follow doctors' orders, it's getting easier and easier for the doctors to talk the people into asking to be killed. And then the doctors kill them, and everybody's happy as if things are going along just fine. And Robert F. Kennedy still has enough of a brain and a heart to understand that those laws are abhorrent. He added, he said, as we can see in Canada today, I think the number one cause of death is assisted suicide. And I'm not sure if that's true, but it's close to being true, and it will be true shortly. That the number one reason, it is the number one cause of death in a number of demographics, a number of communities. And it will be the number one cause of death soon. Canada's program began in 2016. It was limited to terminal cases only, of course. And then they go through this whole evolution. Within a year, listen to this. Within a year of MAID being launched in Canada, after the electorate and the governing officials were convinced that this was not about money, there was a report that came out saying that it saved over $130 million in medical costs the first year. So somebody reported on that. Who was that? Who did that study and published the data? Someone who worked for George Soros, I can assure you. because this is another one of George Soros' pet projects, was to normalize suicide. Since he's committing it, just a little more slowly than most people. Since he's committing, George Soros is in the act of committing one of the greatest mass murder suicides in the history of the world. And this is a part of what he's doing here. And anyway, what was there something else I wanted to say? It seems like there was something I wanted to say about this, a quote from Kennedy, but anyway, I guess I give Kennedy the credit that he recognized this, and I'll leave it at that because we're almost out of time, and so it's time to go. And so I think, oh, this is a scary report. The Ukrainians report that for the first time in human history, as far as we know, an active battlefield post was taken strictly by robots and drones. No living people. And they say they captured a gun position. Russian soldiers surrendered to the robots and the drones. I don't know if it's true. I have a feeling it probably is true. Having watched some of the videos and read some of the background articles about what's happening with robotics and armaments and drones. And anyway, just a little scary that we're going to have robots and drones that can be operated via information technology infrastructure. And then that infrastructure may be empowered to function by artificial intelligence without human beings. I always thought the idea that AI and the robots could destroy us all, I thought that's crazy, that's silly, but as I look and read, I'm thinking maybe that's not so crazy. That we could create a machine that gets us killed. In fact, the more I read the Bible, the more I think that's pretty likely that we could do that. And it's almost as if we would need something in place to stop us from doing it. And so I hope that thing is in place. Well, I know it's in place, but I don't know how many people are familiar. Listen to this from the Missed Opportunity File. TMZ has a reporter at the White House now. Okay, because they're as legitimate as NBC, ABC, CBS, TMZ. So their reporter asked Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, listen to what the reporter says. I've heard you talk about bombing. And when you give these orders, what's going through your mind and your body? Do you have like an adrenaline rush? Are you scared? Do you feel like you're on a power trip? Walk us through what it feels like mentally and physically when you order the bombing of things. So this TMZ reporter, obviously a video gamer, pothead, he knows what this is all about, a first-person shooter and the rush of killing other people. So he asked the Secretary of War, do you feel this in real life? Yeah. And Pete Hegseth, because he's not equipped to answer the question honestly, he goes on with this, my only thought process is to ensure that our warfighters have everything they need to be successful in their mission to defeat and destroy the enemy and come home safely. Okay, that's a very bureaucratic answer, Mr. Hegseth, but everyone knows that's not true, right? We know that's what you have to say, but what's true is what this guy asked you. Do you ever feel this? Well, Pete's afraid he can't say that he's susceptible to his flesh. And yes, you can get addicted to ordering the bombing of people and destruction and war and violence. Yes. And what Pete could have said was, I do feel that from time to time because I'm just a man. And that's why I need God and the Bible to guide and protect me from getting too addicted to that feeling. But he can't say that because Pete doesn't know that. And he's the Secretary of War. Instead, he goes to his politically correct, self-serving, pre-made answer. And Pete, you just missed an opportunity to admit your humanity to people that war is dangerous and the reasons war escalate out of control is because we're evil and wicked and we need God and we need the Bible to stop us from killing ourselves and killing each other. I wish we had people in the government who recognize that, but we do here at the Weekly Worldview, and we know that the Bible is the bulwark in place to stop all this, and we hope you read it, and we'll tell you all about it. And until next time, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.
Something Christian.